Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
But the Chicago Board of Trade, soybean oil rallied to a new contract high. Soybeans managed a 20-cent gain and wheat rallied 30 cents. Corn futures turned in an 8-cent gain. Is it enough to put the bull back in the broker? We'll try to find out today. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Gulke of Strategic Marketing Services. Our panelists today in studio are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. We've had a lot of bears on the program in the last 2 months. Are you getting the urge to be bullish at all? And we'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, Todd, I have the urge to be bullish one day, bearish the next, the way this market chops around. And I think between weather reports, we get that way. I think if you go over to Indiana, we saw a lot of missed opportunities here on Friday as to what the rain did fall. And what we did see fall was a tenth of an inch or less in most cases. We're seeing beans and hearing of beans sitting in dry dirt around different places and grounds cracking. And without a rain, we could get very bullish. You know, if we get the inch of rain that freeze notice is called for, maybe I'm not so bullish.
Matt Bennett?
I would agree with Wayne. I haven't mowed my yard in a week. Doesn't need mowed. We've got beans sitting in dry dirt, some people in our area. Same thing as over there. You know, I think that the Southeast has been so dry. And they're talking potentially that we could be moving high pressure into the Midwest. Well, it's already dry where I'm sitting and south and east of where I am. So I feel like if we don't get the rain, like Wayne's saying, if we don't get an inch of rain pretty soon, it's going to get pretty serious. We've got corn that's getting ready to determine ear size. And I think if we put so much stress on the corn crop, it's going to be tough to pull a big yield, which is what we need nationwide.
Kurt Kimmel?
Yeah, you know, weather's definitely the front headline here in the Midwest, and you got some just adverse conditions. They mentioned too wet in the west, too dry in the east, and you know, a lot of this forecast in front of us. But two, we got to remember that we're looking at the grain market as energy and crude oil's back in the mid-$65 barrel range. We got extremely high palm oil, vegetable oil markets taking place, bringing the bean complex along with it. Then lastly, too, we still got this outside money interested in investing in something that can be explosive.
Let's take a look at that vegetable oil market just for a second, because there were new contract highs made in the soybean oil this week at the Chicago Board of Trade. Been following the palm oil higher. What do you make of the marketplace?
Well, we feel it's just going to keep chugging higher here. We're watching the December futures contract. We feel we're on target here to run to 40, 42 cents here in the near term until this world vegetable oil cools down or until we get a general rain across the Midwest. We feel the bean complex as a whole has some solid footing under
42. Tell me about that, because we're at what? We're just above 35. We're finished somewhere in that range. That's an awful long shot up, although we've rallied from about 20 cents, I think, a pound. So it's been a pretty long rally. I don't know how steep, but it's been a long one.
It's been a chugger, and it's been a nice trending market here. It's given a few head fakes, a few sell signals in here, but the momentum's to the upside. It's not going to go 42 cents right away. Hopefully it won't, because what goes straight up comes straight down. But over time and through here, our upside objective is well above 40 cents.
And how did you get that? Is there a technical position that you pulled that on from?
You can look at different swing objectives and some other analytical studies. And when we look at our long-term perspective, 42 just happened to be the magic number, basis December futures contract.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they came in from the Chicago Board of Trade. In the bean pit, July futures, an 8.14 and a quarter top for the week. The low at 787 and a half, and they ranged up 20 cents at the end of the week for their settlement price at $8.12 a bushel. November beans up 20 and a quarter at 841 and a half. We've asked this across the board in the last couple of days. Is there reason now for producers to think about marketing soybeans because they're at those contract high levels?
Well, Todd, I think that we saw a couple of the advisory firms today recommending another 10% sales in old crop cash beans because of meeting those goals, because of the time of year it is, and because of the lack of carry. So I think that along the way, old crop beans, remember, are not tight. There's lots and lots of old crop beans. Our carryover is the largest it's been worldwide. And we'd have to go along with the recommendations come along there to sell another 10% of the old crop if you still have some in the bin.
How about for the new crop?
New crop, I guess, that's a whole different story out there. We got some production problems probably. We got fewer acres. And we do have, just some problems going on out there as far as carry out for next year and the idea of what Brazil is going to produce because of the real. We're still along the way of thinking this is not a bad place to maybe buy some puts or do something along the way to put something in there. We've got to look. We're sitting here only a couple, 3 cents from contract highs. Over $8 cash beans probably for fall or very close to it. It's a time to think about selling percentage of the crop.
Yeah, I agree with Wayne. I would probably sell some cash beans if I was still holding on to them. But as far as the new crop beans, price protection's the way that I'm going to look at this. I feel like weather problems, whenever you put it with the fact that we are appearing to plant a pretty good-sized corn crop, which means that there will be a reduction in bean acreage as we predicted. It's going to be tough to hit this bean market too hard until we get a little bit of better grasp on what we're going to produce this year, especially looking forward. We don't know what they're going to produce in South America, and we're asking for another 5 or 6 million acres next year, which probably are going to come from beans. So, to me, it's going to be hard to hit this market too hard until we get a little better grasp on production.
Is the good news in the new crop for the soybeans that there actually is a carry there, that there's a little charge if you want to carry it from this to the new crop? Is that good news for the marketplace, you think?
Yeah, it's optimism down the road, like Matt mentioned. When you look at acreage here in the U.S. and demand, all the momentum's in the new crop. Old crop supplies are still ample here over the near term, so there's cases where you could take old crop and sell as new crop and come out ahead, depending on your storage situation. So the glamour in the bean complex is going to be new crop.
Interestingly enough, there's an inversion in the corn rather than a carry. July futures this week had a high of 382 and three quarters, a low at 367 and a quarter, settlement price at 4 3/4 higher, 376 the settlement. December contract a penny below that at $3.75, but it still managed a gain of 8.5 cents. What's the marketplace telling you when you've got the nearby higher than the deferreds?
Well, I feel, after this week, it was pretty interesting. Come in here Monday, trade it higher, and then we saw the ratings and being 92% complete. We hit it hard on Tuesday. We came back in and we bought it back. Yesterday, with the nearby being up 8 cents, I think the commercials were pretty good buyers from what I was reading. I think with this corn market, it's just so volatile. But we're seeing that even with 78% good to excellent rating, we rallied the corn market 8 cents this week. This is a market that's not going to go away until, again, we get a little bit better grasp. There's people talking about maybe a couple million acres less. I don't know if that's the case or not. I know me as a producer, I wanted to get every acre of corn that I could out there because of my guarantee through my insurance program, and I think that's going to be where there wasn't weather problems, that's going to resound. I think there'll be areas where maybe there's a little less corn, areas where there's a little more, but I think that we're probably going to get close to our acreage. So even with that being said, we're still trading, we're still trading pretty historical friendly levels. So I don't know. It's an interesting corn market right now.
Wayne, USDA is going to have a tough time working in the Memorial Day weekend rains if they actually come. There's no crop weather or crop progress report on Monday because of the holiday, and USDA will be, well, should be shut down by the time that this program actually airs. It is shut down by the time this program airs on Saturday. They'll have a tough time trying to calculate the weekend rains in. Do you think it will show that the crop in the United States is not nearly as good as it was last week?
I don't think so, Todd. I think that they're going to look out at the fields. And in all honesty, where we're saying where it's really dry and whatever, on a drive-by look, the crops look fairly good. Where we're seeing some of the problems is, of course, in some of the bean fields where we say there's beans laying in dry dirt. Part of them emerge, part of them aren't. It looks fairly spotty that way. But the corn fields, as of yet, the real damage is going to be coming in if we don't get the rain over this weekend. Just driving by, looking at our fields that are extremely dry, they still look good from the road. And if we get a good rain, they're going to continue to look good.
Matt, we talked about cash grain markets Friday afternoon with Bruce Bostard up at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, and he mentioned a couple of things that I guess I found some concern in, the Western market was one of the reasons that the basis was starting to narrow up on the corn. And while we still lead the Western market by a long shot in how wide the basis generally might be, we're much narrower than they are. Are you concerned at all that the ethanol plants in Iowa and Nebraska and the idea that Katrina has done enough damage to the port of New Orleans that eventually that could lead to this part of the world not having the economic advantage that it has in previous times?
Well, in the short term, it's a good point, but I feel there's so many ethanol plants that are being talked about. I read this week that the Tuscola plant appears to be a go. The Charleston plant, they're talking that it's a go. The more that these ethanol plants pop up, the better basis you're going to have regionally. I mean, it's a good point, but it's interesting, you know, when you talk about a state like Nebraska or Iowa having to import corn at some point because of their ethanol demands. You know, that's exciting to me because generally, I think the entire corn market will be supported by something like that. Locally, our basis might suffer compared to theirs, but I do think that as ethanol becomes more widespread and we catch up to them, I feel like our basis will at least be competitive.
Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade in the wheat pit. July futures at 502.5 on their high, the low at 468. They managed a 29.75 cent gain at 501. December wheat at 525. Up 30.5 cents. What's with the wheat market? Why the rally there?
Well, we're seeing world concerns. International Grain Council came out, lowered world-ending stocks. Ukraine continues to suffer with their drought. France, French wheat futures are all-time highs there. Here in the U.S., we've got major problems in some areas. Out west, too much rain. Guys are fighting rust and fungus. Here in the east, we believe we've lost a ton of soft red winter wheat or soft winter wheat acres just due to the fact insurance agents were aggressively writing checks and those fields went to something else. And then, too, when guys are actually starting to look at the heads now, they're finding that there's not that many kernels in them. So we're kind of a bullish situation here until we get some actual harvest data.
Matt, you're shaking your head in agreement?
Yeah, I've heard several guys that have been out looking that have been pretty disappointed with how their wheat looks, so I'd confer. I think that there could be some pretty poor yields with wheat. Maybe there'll be some areas where guys get lucky and have a decent wheat field, but I haven't heard anything real positive.
So the guys that missed the $5 wheat cash grain market last year in the fall, I think we went that high on the wheat market. Are they going to see it by the time they get to July, or do they need to do something about marketing here?
Well, I think that we looked at a lot of things here, Todd. We're talking to some of our customers in Arkansas that the insurance companies wouldn't let plow up their wheat and go to something else. 3, 5, 7 bushel yields in some of those areas. With the disease talk that's going around now, talking in northern Illinois, the fertilizer and chemical dealers up there talking about how they really need to be watching for the different diseases, and they're starting to have to spray for some of those. I think we're still in a very tight wheat situation. All the things that Kurt said are still very bullish, and we still have a good shot at shooting back towards that $5. You know, seasonally, we're in a downtrend here right now. We were there. We took it off. We put most of it all back on in the last 3 or 4 days here, and I think that we've got a real shot. I think July wheat is, what, around $4.97 or so on Friday. So, you know, $5 isn't that far away.
July oats at 275.5 at the end of the week, finished 9.25 higher over the Mercantile Exchange. Futures finished like this. The live cattle June contract at 93.90 top, low at 90.60. Their settlement price off $1.60 at 91.05. May feeders at 107.90. We're down $1.22.5 from last week. June lean hogs at 75.55 on their high. The low at 74.10, their settlement price at 74.72.5. They finished 47.5 cents lower in the May. Bellies at 101.70, down 2.10. Food versus fuel. We still have awfully high prices in the livestock industry for the Mercantile Exchange number. It doesn't look like they're backing off too much in putting animals on feed.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers there and break even so forth, we're still competitive. There's thought, too, that we need to maintain a premium in order not to see some liquidation take place.
Anything that we need to discuss in the livestock or the Mercantile Exchange side of the marketplace? On the international front, we have a few. Japan looks like it's thinking about opening up to beef trade. We heard this week that the Canadian and U.S. beef trade would be okay, despite the fact that they have BSE. Will this have any impact on the market, or is it just a political ball game at this point?
Well, some of that's political, Todd, but you know, when Japan would open back up, that would be fantastic for us. You know, we are going to start to see some resistance at the retail level because of these gas prices. You know, when you're on a fixed income, a lot of guys in a factory that just have certain incomes, they're going to be able to buy gas and less groceries.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Warm and dry weather continued across Illinois for another week, although a cold front did increase rain chances by the end of the week. Temperatures this week range from 4 to 6 degrees above normal in the central third of the state to near normal in far southern Illinois. The warm weather, combined with low dew points in the 50s or less much of the week, sunshine, and breezy weather, produced enhanced evaporation rates across much of Illinois. For much of this week, they were running around 1/4 inch per day. In a month where much of Illinois experiences its greatest monthly precipitation, rainfall is far below normal. The only exception is southwestern Illinois, where heavy rain early in the month boosted totals there and where rainfall for the month is near normal. However, only parts of northeastern Illinois saw scattered showers and thunderstorms early this week. A frontal system sagging south into Illinois will keep rain chances alive for the state for much of the long Memorial Day weekend. While rain won't fall everywhere, most should receive some rain this weekend. The models are indicating some generous rainfall amounts over the three-day weekend, but a lot of that will depend on whether or not this system can overcome the dry air in place over Illinois. The good news is that rain chances will likely continue next week, with the best chance with a cold frontal passage the last half of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, Kurt Kimball of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois. Joining us now from Rockford, Illinois, is the owner and operator of Strategic Marketing Services, Jerry Gulke. In addition to his research and information analysis firm, you can read our guest comments in his columns for Top Producer Magazine. Good afternoon to you, Jerry. We appreciate you being with us.
Good afternoon.
Tell me, are you bullish the marketplace?
Yes. You know, I've been, I think since last summer when we were on the program, I was rather bullish back then, and for some of the same reasons we're seeing coming to fruition now, and that's that constant increase in demand and the worldwide situation that your guests talked about. Now, they covered it pretty well, and I think we're just seeing it maybe an unrelentless thing that was that, and also all this money chasing commodities again from day to day and the volatility it produces.
Jerry, looking at this weekly export sales report this last week, China bought over 80 million bushel U.S. beans, just a phenomenal number. and at some higher levels, too. Is there something going on they see we don't?
Well, I think maybe yes. From what I hear out of China is that their oil seed production might be down, especially the oil portion of it. They may have to import oil from us or somebody eventually. And of course, the world goes after palm oil first, and then eventually it filters down to soybean oil. But they've got to push on, I think, to plant corn and because of ethanol and that type of thing. And I think they recognize the same things we do. The real in Brazil is really hurting the Brazilian farmer. And I spoke with a fellow that I know there. We share information, and he farms about, I want to say, 250,000 hectares. And I said, you know, I kind of acted kind of radical, and I said, you know, I'm beginning to believe that Brazilian farmers won't raise any more beans than they did last year. And he said, you know, I'm starting to believe the same thing. He said, we might, but he said, they're really hurting, and he said, the real is just preventing them from looking at beans even at $8 or $8.50. It looks like $6 to them. So if the world is in need of soybeans, that's probably why we're sitting here at $8 now and got a big carryover, is that you know, could $8 beans look cheap down the road if we suddenly don't produce them anymore this year and Brazil doesn't increase at least 10 or 12% next year?
Jerry, given what you're saying, then for a producer maybe that hasn't marketed any of their new crop beans, what would your advice be to them?
Well, I'm one of them. In fact, I've got 1995s and 96s in the bin yet, and I just took out three or four semi-loads to get the top off. And I think you start to buy some puts under here, but I think we really need to see this crop conditions continue, and for sure, I think if we're lucky enough not to lose a lot in the soybeans, before we come in with March 30th acres report, I think we'll want some downside protection, because I farm also in North Dakota, and I just returned from there again, and there's just a lot of grain, a lot of corn that didn't get planted in South Dakota, and maybe even now some beans, because they got 3 inches of rain again recently on the stuff they got 10 inches on. So we just got our corn planted in North Dakota, and again, like someone mentioned, we planted it because of the insurance. So once the insurance is over, and today is the day in North Dakota, then they will look to plant beans, and that still looks better than wheat. I will look for less wheat in North Dakota as well, because it just doesn't compete even with $8 beans and $4 futures on corn.
Jerry, it's been called quite a weather market this last week, looking at the dry conditions in the Midwest East area that way. What if we do, if Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio does get an inch of rain over the weekend, what will your call be for Monday evening's trade?
Well, I would think you'd certainly try to take a dime off the corn again, and I'm not sure about soybeans yet, but the weight of it would be on the beans as well. And of course, you'd have to then take a look at the Ukraine to see whether those hot winds are killing their wheat crop. The higher the wheat goes, the less competition it is for feed grains, and you're going to use a little more corn and sorghum then for feed. But you know, the guys on the trade tell me that if it rains, we're going to take 10 or 15 cents off of corn. But it looks like the high end of the low end that we can expect when we get these rains is moving higher, in that there are people out in the world that, you know, if you look at 360 futures and the white basis we have, we get corn down close to $3 in some areas. That doesn't shut off any ethanol plants. In fact, encourages even more. So what that would tell me is if I were a producer or an end user hearing all these things that Jerry Gahlke says we're going to $4 and then maybe $5 and maybe $6 sometime in the next 18 months, I'm going to say you did it again. You still produced enough to meet the demand, and there's no fear. The farmer will come through, and we'll build another ethanol plant. So it probably just delays, if we come up with 158 bushel an acre national yield, it just delays the problem another year, because we're not going to slow down any demand for corn here or worldwide, really.
If you're planning for the insurance on the corn, are you doing anything other on the marketing side? Are you covering the upside potential on it at all, or are you just not worried about it at this point?
Well, I bought the grip insurance, but even if with the RA insurance, I look at it as I bought, I think, 80 to 85%, and depending on whether it was economically feasible and what county it was in. But you know, there's 15% that isn't covered by anything, and again, there's an 85% of my five-year average, which is lower than what I'm thinking I'm going to plant. So if I'm looking at 180 bushel corn and I've still got 15% in there that isn't covered, and then some in there that also is because my 5-year average is less. So I look at it saying that I'm 25% not covered under insurance. That's the stuff I would like to forward contract first. And when it got up to, we got over $4 on the December futures, let some of that go. And we're about 25% sold now in the cash market, trying to stay away from the futures on this volatility too much. But I think the key in all this is to not be in a position where you have to get rid of this grain this fall, because regardless of what we get, whether we get, enough and we have a billion carryover or a billion and a half carryover, ethanol plants can consume it all at once. And I think the basis, from what the elevator guys tell me, could be a lot worse than last year. So, and then we are going to be looking a year from now being tight corn, not currently. And the basis is wide enough this fall that somebody's going to build a grain bin, and you'll build one for an elevator perhaps. But you just don't want to be in a position to have to dump this stuff in the fall, corn or beans, either one.
Jerry, you mentioned ethanol there. You talked about resumed demand if we would go back down to $3. But on the upside, how high in your dealings or work would corn have to go to slow down the ethanol purchasing?
Well, we had a seminar in Top Producer last January, and we had on one of the things that was on the television show was one of the people from ADM, and we asked him that question, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and pretty much said, well, we'll pay whatever it takes. So if you look at profitability, of ethanol is more profitable than the cattle operation. So I think the ethanol guy will buy all the corn he needs to keep moving, depending on the time of year, of course. If he has to pay high prices for it in June, like in 1996, they bought enough grain just to last get by. I mean, the end user didn't until another crop came in. So I think if you look at $65 a barrel oil and $3.50 gas, that's like the ethanol guy buying $2 corn. So I'm thinking, and you look at their spreadsheets, if it's true, $5.50 corn isn't going to slow them down. And then if they're like farmers are, when I go to rent land, I figure, well, I got the machinery all paid for, the buildings paid for. All I really got to recoup is my variable expenses if I rent more land. And that takes their cost of production down again, because they'll justify continuing to produce ethanol at high-priced corn just to meet their variable expenses and keep the doors open. So I'm not sure how high we'll go. You know, we had to go to $5 in 1996 in order to slow down any usage, and I suspect it's higher than that this year, maybe by 20%.
Jerry, we appreciate you being with us today.
Yep, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Jerry Golke is the owner and operator of Strategic Marketing Services of Rockford, Illinois. And now a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
Well, our weather guy says, watch this, July 11th through the 16th, it could be triple digits.
And Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain.
It's going to be a pretty wild ride. I would not give anything away, and let's see what this market can do.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, we heard Jerry say it could be sharply lower if we get some rain, and along the way, that might be an opportunity to buy some calls against some sales you've already made. And if we don't have that rain, it keeps moving up. Think seriously of puts.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is www.willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.